And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me, never on Wednesdays, always on Mondays. We did a little flip-flop this week with Michele and Alex. It's Michele Barra. Michele, what's up?
Well, I was almost dying at the beginning of the pod. I'm not okay, but hey.
I just thought you were crying just because the music is so beautiful.
Yes, it is. You know? It is awesome. spectacular intro. So,
I want to, before we get into some Thunder stats, I wanted to dig through some Thunder stats today. I wanted to give a huge thanks to the Thunder organization and to everybody that showed up on Monday night to our Down to Dunk night at the arena. It was just a dream come true, honestly. If you're watching live on YouTube, I'm putting up the photo of our group that was there. We were at the Tap House before the game, did a show that due to not even technical difficulties, just due to difficulties that I was having, we did not record that show. Which is fine. Those live shows are difficult sound-wise anyways. So If you were there, you heard it. If you weren't, you didn't. But it's okay. We had a lot of fun. Got to go to the game. Got to see a good Poku game, which was nice. And then we got to go on the court. We did a half-court shot competition, which Sarika won. Big congrats. She listen to the prize pack she won, Michele. She won a miniature basketball signed by Lou Dort, which is really cool. And then she won two courtside seats to a future game.
Wow.
Like, it's like a real prize. Like this isn't just like a basket of fruit or candy. This is like real. I was so excited when I heard that. I was so pumped when I heard that.
That is so kind from the organization to the sponsor this night in that way. Like it's awesome.
Big shouts to Mathematics for helping us out, getting the ball rolling, organizing everything, making a Down to Dunk sign that was in the arena, which was really cool to see our logo just like out in the middle of the arena. Oh, it was just all just amazing. So, man, I will never forget that. It was an amazing night, and it was fun and overwhelming and everything. So, big thanks to everybody that was able to come to that. We will do more. It went well. Everybody behaved themselves, and there's a few things I hope to improve upon for next time, but. For a first time, I thought it was great.
Well, I'm just miffed.
I know.
Because it wasn't there.
I miffed too. Somebody shouted out. So before everybody left, I said like a few words and somebody yelled out, "We miss Mikey." So, you were missed, no doubt.
Thank you.
I did, before we get started, I did want to, I don't know how, if you're following this story, it's the story of Julius Jones in Oklahoma City. He's been put, it's a man who was put on death row.
It's the guy who Tyler Parker tweeted about?
Tyler Parker's been tweeting about it. Mm-hmm. You go, I mean, if you don't know the story, just go to justiceforjulius.com. One, you can support, there are ways to support him, and then there's just information about the case. So I encourage you to go there. There are walkouts happening right now. Like, I get goosebumps thinking about it. And I usually don't talk about stuff like this, but I just felt led to talk about it. Someone tweeted at me and I've just been thinking about it. And there's walkouts happening right now at a lot of local high schools, in support of him. He is set to be killed tomorrow. And so this is kind of the last chance for, I mean, he is overwhelmingly innocent. When you read about it, there's a documentary about it. There's all kinds of stuff out there on it. But when you look at the case, it's like you should be infuriated. Like you should feel something. So I encourage you guys to go to justiceforjulius.com, at least sign the petition. There's a way to send an email to our governor. Let's just like flood his inbox today. Let's just flood it with, and then you can also make a phone call too, which I'd encourage you to do as well. So, just an incredible injustice that's happening right before our eyes. It shouldn't happen in 2021. Like it just shouldn't happen. So, I would encourage you guys to go check that out. So Hoopstock 69, I'll give you a quick summary. I'm not going to go into the whole thing. But justiceforjulius.com. Essentially, 20 years ago, he was framed for a murder that he didn't commit. He had an attorney that was inexperienced, didn't know what he was doing, basically didn't defend him. He got framed. The guy who was the prosecuting attorney was essentially just a joke. He had a bunch of his cases overturned. He's a guy that should not have been an attorney and put a lot of innocent people behind bars. There was a lot of racism that went along with this case. Anyhow, he gets put in prison. The guy that committed the murder admitted that he did it. And people have signed petitions. There's been affidavits signed that he was the one who did it. It's like, it is one of like the most like mind-bending cases that you would have ever read. And to think that it can't just be overturned or changed is wild. Alex Bullerjack in the chat says, give yourself 30 minutes for the phone call. Hit zero twice to get a real person. So, okay. I do think that's important. I do think it's important that we put this on the show today. No real good transition from there, but I did feel led to talk about that today because it is a, if you're just a person, I'm a person of faith, and I just think that this is just something that like you should feel something about this. Even if you're not a person of faith, there's really not even a reason to say that other than the fact that like those kind of things will move me, but it should move you if you're just a person, because like somebody shouldn't just die because of the errors of people 20 years ago. So okay, the Thunder. They are normal bad, losing in normal bad ways to the Heat. Alex mm-hmm. and I talked about that the other day. Was it Alex and I? No, it wasn't.
No. It was you, Joe, and John.
Yes. I thought the zone, if you are an NBA coach and you care anything about preparing for the Thunder, you should try a zone. Do you disagree?
A zone without a big man, because that is important as well. Miami, yes, they had Dedmon, but Dedmon is a very switchable guy. And either you basically remove the big man from the equation entirely, or you try a very aggressive zone that stays really high, leaves the corner open, and you basically have two lines of defense, one after the other, one very close to the other, so that Shea cannot really gain speed. From the moment when he beats the first man to the second defender, he's on his way. This is something that Shea masters to such a high degree. And take the game against Philly. You can't say that Philly is a bad defensive team.
Yeah.
But you can see that Joel Embiid stays down, like, and like with one of the feet outside of the restricted area, the other one inside, and Matisse Thybulle stretches far away from the basket. Thybulle is a great defender, but Shai can beat that line of defense almost every time, almost against anyone, especially if you don't double.
Yeah.
And so, and when he does it, then if you let him gain speed, and if he has like options in front of him, like he can like go left, right, and decide at the end of the motion where he's going to go, it is extremely hard to guard him in space. if you like make that distance short, and you put a guy that is away from the basket, then Shai doesn't have the same. It's just not the something that he's used to go against. I remember when he struggled a lot against Houston two years ago.
Yep.
Because Houston was using the same kind of defense, like no big man, double or like very aggressive defense, and this is something that Shai doesn't beat well as of today.
Yeah.
I think the counter is to just shot a lot of threes and make them, because once he does that, then you really cannot afford to play defense in this way. And some of the possessions, they really are just doubling him, avoiding him to go right and just trap him every single time. And I was talking with it about it with John. I said, well, OKC is not able quickly to have a deadly shooter open. The moment that they have that, that kind of defense can stay in the game just for like for little time, because it's, you can't leave a Seth Curry open on the corner. You just can't, because it's going to make 10 threes, and it's better to guard Shai and trap him in an opportunistic way. Like you may trap once or twice just to cause a turnover, not as a scheme of defense, because you can cheat on OKC's shooters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and they really found the way to shut Shai down, who is tops in drives. He is second in points per game in isolation right now in the NBA.
Yeah.
In the whole NBA.
Yeah.
And James Harden leads the league. He's number one, 8.2 points per game in isolation. Shai's number two at 7.4. Then it drops off pretty significantly to 5.2. And that's Kevin Durant. So here's the list. Yeah. Like, let's just go through the top 10 in isolation. Mm-hmm. Number one, James Harden. Number two, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Number three.
Do you also have the efficiency? Just for curiosity.
Yeah, 0.97 points per possession. That's not bad.
Shai?
Yeah, Shai.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, that's not bad at all.
So like Harden, outrageously efficient. 1.18 points per. Isn't that nuts?
Wow.
Kevin is 1.08, which is very good. Number four, Giannis. Number five, Joel Embiid, 1.01. Number six, Jason Tatum, 0.77. Number am I on? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I wish they would number things on NBA.com. Seven, Bradley Beal. At 1.15, that's 4.5 points. 8, Luka Doncic. 9, DeMar DeRozan. 10, Ja Morant. What do all these guys have in common, Michele?
All stars.
That they're freaking superstars. Like all these guys. I mean, if you want evidence that the Thunder have a star in Oklahoma City, go check out the isolation numbers, because you are not... I mean, there's not a just rando guy in the top 10 that is just like, oh, like that's pretty cool. There's not. There's barely a random guy in the top 20.
Yeah.
And we're talking about somebody that's averaging 7.4. I mean, he is more than double the amount of Jaylen Brown. Like, you want to talk about Jaylen Brown? Like, Jaylen Brown's had a nice season.
He was an all-star.
He has been an all-star. He's having a really nice season. He is more than double the amount of ISO points.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the crazy part, the number of points. And I guess, well, maybe they count the free throws afterwards, like the free throws that they generate without shooting. I don't know. I have to check, but I don't think that that is the case, because if you add those, then I imagine that guys like Harden and Shea will distance themselves from the other even more. On one end, you can argue that having a player like that who takes so much in ISO is not necessarily a good thing going forward, because I mean Houston's the Houston led Harden, Harden led Houston, whatever. When Harden was in Houston, the problem is, well, you shut down Harden, you shut down the team. But you can also argue that those players are the ones that, when you put functional players around them, this is where you can be extremely dangerous in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because, if you have a guy that can get points, even if it's around one in offensive efficiency, it's not great. But this is a season where the efficiency is down overall.
Yep.
And if you play in space, if you put around Shea guys like, Joe Harris, we're not talking about like super duper elite guys like Klay Thompson.
Right.
Just put like shooters.
Yeah.
I want to read you a list, like just one line.
Yeah.
Can you guess the efficiency of Mike Muscala over the past four games? Efficiency and net rating, please.
Like points per possession and net rating?
Yes.
1.5 and 125. I don't know.
No, the overall net rating is still bad because it's still OKC, but plus 18.2 net rating.
Oh, okay. I got you.
And 80% effective field goal. 80. 1.6 points per possession.
1.6.
Yes. The true shooting is even higher because he actually had to take free throws. So it's 85 true shooting.
That is unbelievable.
85.
That is unbelievable.
It's insane. So the point is, put functional players around Shea where the defense cannot double with ease. And that guy in isolation can be as efficient or close to James Harden. Yeah. I have no doubts.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. This actually just leads into a question that we got from our guy, SportsFan405, at 405 fan on Twitter. So he asks, or he says, you can choose to give minutes to Muscala and Kenrich or to Mann, Wiggins, Vitt, Poku, Roby, any of those guys. Who do you prefer getting minutes to right now? This is a 405 trap.
Yeah, it's the young guys, of course.
Yeah.
They should get the majority of the minutes.
Yeah, I think so too. However, I believe the Thunder think the answer to that is both.
Exactly.
Because
I agree 100%.
And Mark is, I've talked to Mark about this a lot, is that he wants to have Kenrich out there when Trey Mann and Poku are out there. Because he's going to show them, not only tell them on the bench, do what the coaches do, but show them while they're out there what they should be doing, where they should be.
Yes.
How to do it. Let me show you how to do it while you're out here. And I'll say this, just from observing and getting to see things up close, the development stuff is for real. Like, they are throwing crazy resources. They are fully on board with development of everybody. And they believe a piece of the development is not just minutes, but that it's having players that have the traits that they want. And they, and Marcus started using the language of, this is a Thunder player. Like, this is a Thunder guy. These are Thunder guys. Like, Kenrich is a Thunder guy. And JRE is a Thunder guy. Like, he's said those things. So I think that they want to make sure that guys that maybe aren't necessarily Thunder guys, like, I don't, Trey Mann is not innately a Thunder guy, but they want to teach him how to be one. Poku, not innately a Thunder guy, want to teach him how to be a Thunder guy. And the, I think the traits that they're talking about, and I can even, I'm probably need to clarify this, but I believe the traits are like trying hard all the time, playing great defense, making the right passes, playing within the flow of the offense, like all these like teamwork glue type of things, so that we're all playing the same way. We're all pulling the same rope in the same direction kind of things. And some of that comes with the right personalities. And we're going to get the ultimate contrast of this tonight in Oklahoma City with the Houston Rockets. And the Rockets, to their credit, destroyed the Oklahoma City Thunder early this season. It feels like that was years ago that they lost to them by 30. That feels like just forever ago. But they did. But this Houston Rockets team is just, I don't know what they're doing. I've watched them a few times this year outside of that game. And I'm a sicko. I'm a sicko. I don't know what's going on with that Houston team. They don't play with a point guard. I don't care what they say they're trying to do with that backcourt. There's not a point guard on that team. There's nobody really running anything. They're just jacking shots. They don't play defense. There are several arguments to be made, and this is where it's like really, this kind of stuff is really interesting to me. On some level, that stuff doesn't matter at all. If they draft the next Kevin Durant in Houston, all the hand-wringing about they don't have an offense, they don't have a defense, they don't have anything going on, they're just rolling the ball out there, it doesn't matter. Like, it won't matter. However, in the next two drafts, let's say that like Jalen Green hasn't looked great. Like, he's an explosive athlete. He can score sometimes in bunches, but his efficiency looks like Poku's right now.
Yeah.
So, like, that's not great. Let's say that he is like the OJ Mayo of this draft. Well, there's whiff number one, right? What's that? You don't like that. You don't.
No. I just remembered about OJ Mayo. Well, how great he looked.
Chris Vernon, and this is one of the reasons why Chris Vernon like hates tanking, and he talked about it on his show. And like anybody in Memphis, it's a Memphis thing. Like Memphis, if you are in Memphis and you follow the Grizzlies, you like hate tanking. Like they just despise tanking, and that's fine. Part of it is
bad judgment, bad
management,
evaluation of talent.
Yeah. Part of it is, and I didn't really get this until I heard him talk about it, was the OJ Mayo thing, where he's like, listen, like OJ Mayo could have been great if he would have had a team develop him, like actually develop him.
Yeah.
But by the time the Grizzlies got good, he had such an inflated view of himself, wouldn't take on the role he was supposed to, and just things just fell apart for him.
Yeah.
And so perhaps Jalen Green, I mean, it's still so early, so I'm not saying that like Jalen Green is going to be a failure by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
But if you whiff and then you don't get transcendent stars in the next two drafts, the Thunder start getting their picks again pretty soon.
Yeah.
And if they don't hit on one of these next ones, well, then you don't have a foundation. You don't have anything to lean back on. There, it is just a hope and a prayer that they will get a transcendent superstar. And it could happen. It could very well happen. They could get Paolo in this next draft. And I don't know that Paolo's a transcendent star, but maybe he is. And if he is, then all of the hand-wringing doesn't matter at all. But if they get a tier two guy to pair him with another tier two guy, and they're not taught how to be great pros, then that's when you start to run into some problems.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean the ideal scenario for a team like OKC is to be able to keep guys like Kenrich and Muscala engaged for the entire season. Forget about favors. Like, he's there and he's clearly not invested in anything. He looks okay. He plays professionally.
Yeah.
He does what he's supposed to do on the court. But you can see like a different fire on Muscala and Kenrich. Maybe I'm wrong, but this is the way I'm seeing.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that Favors is bad. No, not at all.
I don't think that Favors just has that much juice left either, though. Is part of it.
That's possibly the case. Yeah. Possibly the case. I mean, he's just there.
Yeah.
But guys like Kenrich, like the ideal thing, and this is what was the initial sentence that I was going to say, is that you should have those. You should have them playing. You should have them telling other people what to do, and you lose a little bit more. That is ideal for OKC. But if I have to pick between a team that plays for too long without a purpose, without a development idea in mind, because you can clearly see that OKC plays a certain way. They want to build something. They want to play a certain brand of basketball. It's clear. You can see what they do on the court. If I have to pick between that may cost you 5-8 wins more, and being just something that has no structure,
the
odds are important, but hey, the structure is extremely important.
Yeah.
Extremely important. The plan is extremely important.
It is. And some people are like worried about the standings already. Like, stop it. Stop it.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried. And
I will tell you to stop it.
Yes, but I think that when you win 20% of your over under in 15% of the games, you are clearly a little bit ahead. I know that there are several circumstances, but I see that this team, whenever they have...
Yeah.
The problem to me is that whenever Muscala has a good game and he plays 7 minutes with Shea, it can happen that OKC is good enough to win a game.
Yeah.
And this is a sentence that I mentioned to a couple of friends they have here in Italy about, like, why are you picking OKC to go over? And I said, give Shea a functional big man for half a game and he will win you 23 games.
Yeah.
And I still get by that because I think that, yeah, we'll see teams guarding Shea more heavily, but you will see also teams that are not Miami losing against OKC because they are just not good enough to make a consistent plan for Shea. And if Shea has that night, you're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that OKC will go over. Now, is this over by a game too? Probably so. I still have them around 23, 25 games for the season, which is not horrible.
Still pretty bad.
It's still pretty bad, yes.
In an 82-game season, it's pretty bad. And remember, last season was not an 82-game season. So that's another like adjustment like mentally that we have to make with like the amount of wins they had this season versus last season. If they won 23 games, like I don't know what the math is, but it's about the same.
A bit more.
Yeah.
Last year they won like a bit more than the one that I'm projecting right now. But just because I think that they will not get by the All-Star game at the same amount of wins.
Yeah.
I think they will be... It will be less than that.
Yeah.
But because it is going back, it's going to the thing that you say before, like the plan is to play both Muscala and Kenrich a bit and all the other guys, especially at home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure that they will play a lot of blue guys when they are home. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the O'Malley. We'll see.
Maybe not. Maybe, though. Here's the thing is that I believe that everybody on the roster will play. That's what I believe, is that everybody on this roster will have their time at some point. And so we can't write off anybody, you know, about any of this. Let's see. Somebody else had a question about the Thunder's pick situation that I thought would be a good, it's a good refresher to take a look and see. It is from at OKC Mift. I'd love a little refresher on what all picks we have this year and their protections and all that. So They have Detroit's pick. If Detroit is the 17th pick or later, which they won't be. So they don't have Detroit's pick.
No.
They have the Clippers unprotected.
See, Andrew, Şengün would have been so much better. It's going to be 2 second-round picks. We wasted that. No, sorry.
We get to see Şengün tonight. That would be fun. Yeah. Clippers unprotected pick, which Clippers are pretty great. So right now that would be the 23rd pick. And then they have the Phoenix Suns pick as well, protected 1 through 12,
yeah,
which is also a pick in the 20s. So yeah, two picks in the 20s, which we've seen the Thunder take two picks in the 20s and package it for a pick in the teens. So That's something that is on the table to happen in this next draft as well. And then they have their own pick, which is top 14 protected. So if this team somehow made the playoffs, they would lose their pick to Atlanta. So That is who they have. That's what they have right now. If the season ended today and there was no lottery, they'd have the 7th pick, the 23rd pick, and the 29th pick in the draft. So
not great, but not terrible.
Yeah, not great, but not terrible. That's a low end outcome for the Thunder, and they have their own second rounder too, which is the 37th pick in the draft.
Yeah, but here, let me state something that I think is extremely important. We don't know yet how the top of the draft will shape out. So last year, there was absolutely no way, I think, to trade into the top 5 of the draft.
Yeah.
Even if you were just outside. This year, it may be a two-man race. And if you hit, awesome. If you don't, maybe number 3 is up for grabs. Mm-hmm. Maybe someone doesn't like Jalen Duren. And maybe him is a guy that you can get for the right amount of future assets. So we don't know yet how flexible the top end of the draft will be. Again, I don't expect anyone to get into the top 2, top 3, because that is extremely unlikely unless you put Shea on the market. And I don't think that OKC is going to do that. But like the number 4, the number 5 pick in any draft could be up for grabs. I mean, it was up for grabs when Luka was drafted for just two extra first and the pick number 5.
Yep.
No, Hoopstocks is nine. Don't worry. I just said Durant because right now he's mocked at the number 3 spot. I was just making an example. Don't worry. It's not necessarily my pick. I have yet to start looking into prospect. I just watched Gonzaga dismantling a team that I don't remember the name of. So
yeah. I am. This is a guy that Alex mentioned. When was this? 2 weeks ago. But Patrick Baldwin Jr. Have you watched any of him?
Nope, not yet.
He's at Milwaukee, and he's playing for Milwaukee because his dad's a coach. And he looks, we talk about the Thunder needing shooting. Like, he's this big shooting wing that would be awesome.
Like Trey Murphy?
Oh, he's better than Murph, man.
Yeah, I expect that. I was just thinking about big wings that can shoot the basketball.
Yeah, he's going to be a lot better than Murph. And Murph is good.
Murph is okay.
Yeah. He has not been what we had hyped him to be this season, as have none of the Pelicans. How about that?
Yeah, but again, it's have you seen how the Pelicans play? I mean, how many kickouts in the corner?
It's miserable. I mean, they're missing anybody with gravity. Is what they're missing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
They need Zion or NBI to come back. Badly. Also, PBJ. Who would not want to root for a guy named PBJ? Do you call them PBJs? You know what PBJs are? You know what I'm talking about?
I think you told me already, but I don't remember exactly. And no, we don't have PBJs here anyway.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
Yeah, that one. I thought it was about something about... No, we don't really use peanut butter here.
You've never had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
No, I did have one when I was in Purdue.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Were you impressed?
Okay. We just don't use peanut butter.
You don't
here.
Use peanut butter. Do you guys do pancakes for breakfast? You guys do that?
No.
You don't do pancakes. Oh my gosh.
No, it's we are in a different kind of world here.
Yeah.
We have croissant and cappuccino here for breakfast.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
If you look at me and you ask what my breakfast is a black coffee, short espresso, nothing else. But it's not the usual Italian way.
What's the typical Italian breakfast?
Well, when I was young, it was milk and cereals, milk and cookie, bread with Nutella. If you want salty, then a toast, which is like, I don't know if you have this, squared sandwiches with ham and cheese. In Italy, we call it toast, but it's not probably the same naming that you have there.
Huh. Wow. I put peanut butter on my pancakes too. We're using a lot of peanut butter, man. A lot of peanut butter here. Do you like chocolate peanut butter? Penny wants to know.
Penny, I never tried it.
You've never had like a Reese's cup? Reese's?
The orange one?
The orange one?
Should I say that I found those extremely not my taste?
Really?
Like, yes.
Wow. This is mind-blowing stuff.
Yeah. You know, it's a taste that we don't use frequently.
Yeah.
Here. So
what's your favorite candy? Or a candy bar?
My favorite.
Do you have candy? Like what's the candy?
No, I have, but let me find the translation to this before I say something extremely stupid. I have a candy that I really like.
Yeah.
Licorice, like the wheels.
Yeah.
The black wheels, those ones.
The black ones.
Yes.
Stop the pod.
Why?
No peanut butter, no Reese's, licorice. And you like black licorice? Wow.
Yeah, it's my favorite candy.
It's your favorite candy?
Yes. That is that bad?
I mean, it is a bottom tier candy. Like, there's no doubt.
Wow. Really? Are we? Okay, we have
100%.
Different tastes. That's 100%. Fine.
We need to get you here, stat, to do some candy taste test stuff. Yeah.
Okay. But, like, it's not that in Italy, the thing that I just discussed with you is the best, it's the go-to candy.
Yeah.
It's that I don't like, in general, overly sweet things.
Yeah.
I don't like those.
Wow.
So licorice to me is a little bit spicy, so I like it.
Yeah. And I will eat it, and it's not, I don't find it to be too bad, but it is
for me, like white chocolate or milk chocolate, it's not chocolate.
Dark chocolate.
It should not. No, dark 75 or more.
Yeah, I like dark chocolate too. I'm kind of with that.
And I like, so sorry for, then I'm going to stop. I like, for example, chocolate with pepper. that I
What
would
in
like.
The world is chocolate with pepper? Okay, we like really have to. Chocolate? We really have to end this pod now with the chocolate with pepper comment. All right, thanks so much for listening.
You've never
to the
tried
podcast.
It?
No, I've never.
Really?
No, never.
Wow, you should. You should. That is extreme.
Do you pepper it yourself?
No, it's.
What does this mean? I don't know what that means.
Red pepper. Red pepper and chocolate.
Oh, there is like, red pepper. Okay.
Yes, not pepper. Sorry. Yes, red pepper.
Okay, that's still real weird. But I don't know. Never had it. Wow. I'd like
that,
to try it.
That
though.
You should try.
I will try that it. Try. I will try it. All right. Thanks so much for listening. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you guys again on Friday.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.